Welcome to the program, God in Country, a program that examines current political, social, economic, prophetic events in the light of biblical exposition. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. Today's program is again about the continuing saga of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act of 2009. You don't need for me to repeat everything that you have read on townhall.com or Breitbart or Fox News. I am sure that the listeners to this program are very well informed on this debacle called Obamacare and all the problems in the recent rollout. You know that the website for Obamacare, healthcare.gov, doesn't work. The head of Health and Human Services, Kathy Sebelius, is under fire and is testifying before Congress for hiring an inept firm that has a record of sloppy, unsuccessful work, for a lack of oversight. Sebelius's honesty is in doubt. She refuses to say how many people have been signed up for Obamacare, as if nobody at the Department of Health and Human Services can get that number. Most likely, they won't say because the number is so low that it would further embarrass the administration. And the department refuses to publish any data on how much rates will be going up for most people. And you know that the Obamacare site has been set up so that you can't actually see the price of your policy until after you have fully signed up. And that way, you don't leave the site and can never be counted as having completed an application. Kathleen Sebelius was testifying that healthcare.gov was never down. Yet the site was down while she was speaking. On her way out, a Tennessee politician handed her the book, Programming for Dummies. Now, you've also heard that CGI Federal, the Montreal-based company that was contracted to build healthcare.gov, was paid $93 million. It was a no-bid contract, and CGI has ties to Democrat fundraising and support. Also, according to Bloomberg, the company has received a total of $422 million in contracts related to Obamacare since Obamacare was signed into law. But the actual rollout of Obamacare wasted much more money than what was spent on CGI. $700 million was spent on a marketing campaign to get people to sign up for healthcare.gov. Where did all of that money go? Furthermore, you have heard that the public is now discovering that the policies offered on healthcare.gov are more expensive than people have been traditionally paying for their healthcare insurance. And those promised government subsidies are not available for most people. And even with the subsidies, the policies are more expensive than what people traditionally paid. The Obamacare policies offer worse coverage with higher deductibles and copays. President Obama said in Boston that because the healthcare.gov website isn't working, a lot of people haven't had a chance to see just how good the prices are. I think he actually believes this. The facts on the ground are that most Americans will be worse off financially under Obamacare. People thought that the purpose for Obamacare was to give people cheaper insurance. President Obama promised that every family would save $2,000 per year in medical insurance costs. But the fact is, Obamacare was never about saving people money. It was about socialism. Getting the people who could afford health insurance to pick up the cost for those who did not have health insurance. So, of course, the cost of insurance will increase enormously, especially for young people in their 20s and 30s, because they are now going to be picking up the additional costs of the elderly and the uninsured. Now, President Obama promised when he was promoting his healthcare program that if you like your current plan, you can keep it. But you all know that millions of Americans are now losing their individual insurance policies or having their premiums drastically increased because Obamacare mandates certain coverage which older policies do not cover. Non-compliant plans are illegal. New plans have to cover everything from drug counseling to maternity care, even if you're not a drug addict, and even if you are a single male. Obamacare is pure socialism. you are responsible to pay the health care needs of others. Now, just last week, Blue Cross of Florida sent cancellation notices to 300,000 customers. And this is happening all across America. And the president is now trying to backpedal on his promise that you can keep your health care by saying, well, our program will be better anyway. And it's come to light that the Obama administration actually knew that the Affordable Care Act would result in at least 50 million Americans losing their present policies. But they decided to go with the lie that people will be able to keep the present policies in order to sell Obamacare. Then there are all of the people losing their jobs over Obamacare. Since companies are mandated to cover the health insurance of their full-time employees, many businesses can't afford to pick up an extra $1,000 a month for their employees, and so they are cutting workers. So what are people doing? Well, rather than paying extra for health care or signing up for Obamacare, many people are deciding to risk not having insurance until this whole thing blows over and until they can get affordable insurance again. So while Obamacare was supposed to ensure the 47 million Americans who are uninsured, actually less people are now insured because of Obamacare. Conventional wisdom is that Obamacare will never work and few people will sign up for it because the middle class can't afford it. And the facts prove it. People don't want it, people can't afford it, and therefore they're not signing up. For example, if you're 31 years old and you earn $31,000 a year, you earn too much to get a subsidy. But how many people 31 years of age making only $31,000 a year have an extra $600 a month to pay for health insurance? They don't. That amounts to $7,200 a year in insurance costs, meaning that they must live on $23,000 a year. Most people in that income category are living hand to mouth. Let's say you're a family of four earning $50,000 a year. Signing up for Obamacare will cost you $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year. Now, what family of four do you know living on $50,000 a year that has an extra $1,000 a month to pay for health care? The reason people were uninsured in America before the Affordable Care Act was because they could not afford insurance. And they decided to do what people have done for centuries. Be self-insured. When you get sick, there are always cheap alternatives and you can pay as you go. And in most cases, those people who are self-insured win financially. They can actually get some good, inexpensive care because they can shop around and they can negotiate. And the lie that was used to promote Obamacare was that all of these uninsured people were not getting medical care. And yet they were getting medical care. We have Medicare, Medicaid, the states have charity programs, hospitals and doctors did charity work, and people generally got the care that they needed. You know, after 30 years of pastoral work and hospital visits, I've seen that the most effective and necessary medical care is actually quite inexpensive. And the medical industry in America is better controlled by people not having lots of money to pay for their health care. Because once people have great insurance, all of a sudden the medical industry discovers that they need a procedure or a hospital stay that costs $500,000, when in fact there are many cheaper alternatives. Now, people were all excited about Obamacare because they thought that they were going to get free or next to free health insurance. Because the reason that health insurance was so expensive was because of those greedy insurance companies. But now people are going to discover that health insurance is the most expensive way for Americans to pay for health care. My personal doctor, Alita Eck, who is an active opponent of Obamacare, posted on her Facebook page last week this statement. Your annual checkup does not cost any less because it's covered by insurance. In fact, it costs more. And she should know. All of the paperwork involved in insurance claims, all of the middlemen trying to make money off of the healthcare industry drives up the cost, and we would be much better off with a cash system. Now, if you think people are angry now, wait until people have to fill out their 2014 tax returns and be fined $95 per person for not having insurance. Then in 2015, the fine goes to $325 per person. And then in 2016, the fine is 2.5% of your income. If I were a family of four and I made $50,000 a year, I would rather pay a $1,250 fine than pay out $12,000 in health insurance. So the problem with Obamacare is far beyond a faulty website. Even with a working website, the program is still in trouble. In fact, the broken website is hiding the unpopularity of the program. The administration can blame the website for people's failure to sign up. The problem with Obamacare is ideological. It was passed to satisfy the political agenda of socialism. Now, there are some on the liberal side of evangelicalism who say socialism is charity for the poor and it's a Christian thing to do. Well, before we look at the scriptures, let me share a lesson learned by the pilgrims. This is a good lesson to look at now that we're in the Thanksgiving season. William Bradford recorded his memoirs of the Plymouth Colony in his 1640 work called Of Plymouth Plantation. Bradford served as the governor of the colony from 1620 to 1647. For the first 3 years, the colony tried a sort of communism. Everyone worked for the entire colony. There was no private property. The food was grown by all and distributed equally. The women washed clothing together for all the families, not just their own. And the men farmed a common plot of land. But the colony was barely producing enough to keep everyone alive. So they decided they needed a drastic economic change. They parceled out the land to each family, and everyone worked in their own land and for their own food. And the food production increased dramatically. The lazy people began to work, and the colony was saved. William Bradford writes this: "At length, after much debate of things, the governor, with the advice of the chiefest among them, gave way that they should set corn every man for his own particular, and in that regard trust to themselves, and so assigned to every family a parcel of land according to the proportion of their number. This had very good success, for it made all hands industrious, so as much more corn was planted than otherwise would have been by any means the governor or any other could come up with, and it saved the governor or the government a great deal of trouble and gave far better results. The women now went willingly into the field and took their little ones with them to plant corn, which before they would allege weakness and inability, and if they were compelled, they would consider it tyranny and oppression." Unquote. Now, the important part of Bradford's work is not just in explaining the failure of socialism, but he explains why it failed, even in this spiritually minded community. He went on to write that economic socialism bred confusion and discontent. It hindered employment that would have benefited the community, and that men who are most able and fit for labor and service resented that they should spend their time and work for other men's wives and children. And the people thought it was an injustice that those who did not work as hard were given the same as those who did work, that the hard workers were equalized with the slackers, and that socialism diminished the mutual respect people ought to have for one another. The women who are washing the clothing for the entire community did not consider it utopian socialism, but slavery, which is exactly what socialism becomes: servitude to the state. Then William Bradford gives this spiritual lesson, because he was not ignorant of the economic philosophy of socialism. So translating his work into modern English, he writes, "Their experience with socialism, which had been tried by other godly and sober men in other times, demonstrates the conceit of Plato and the philosophers that people today are now praising. These philosophers thought that they were wiser than God in taking away personal property and bringing the community into communism in order to make people happy and flourishing. Unquote. The bottom line is this. Socialism is a violation of God's biblical principles of personal accountability and responsibility. The 1 Timothy 5 principle that each family is to provide for its own. The 1 Thessalonians 4 and the 2 Thessalonians 3 principle that each one is to attend to his own business. Now, Bradford referred to Plato because at that time, Plato was the notable philosopher who spoke about the communist model. If Bradford was living today, he could have spoken about the conceit of Karl Marx and the Soviets' 70-year experiment with communism. But notice this about the Pilgrims' experience. These Puritans who claimed to know and study the Bible were fooled by communism. For a while, they thought it was the right thing to do. And so also with people today. I always come across local pastors and I hear evangelical leaders who believe that the Democrats' social agenda is biblical charity. I just heard someone the other day saying that Christians who are battling against government socialism are undermining the spread of the gospel. I tend to think that the only way these men are going to learn the truth is through experience, just like the Pilgrims. And notice also how socialism failed in the Pilgrims' religious community, a community that didn't have major problems with drunkenness and laziness. So how much more will socialism fail in our society, which is filled with evil and illicit drug use and divorce and fornication and children out of wedlock and sexually transmitted diseases? Today, it's more necessary than ever to rein in sin by causing people to be accountable for their actions. Now, do you think the lesson of William Bradford applies to healthcare? Absolutely. Once everyone is responsible for everyone else's healthcare, more people are going to be freeloading off of others, both the bureaucrats who dish out the money and those taking the money. It will breed confusion, discontentment, resentment. It will hinder employment that would otherwise benefit the community. It will engender an atmosphere, not of freedom, but an atmosphere of servanthood in our country. There is no social justice without economic freedom. I was given a copy of Ann Coulter's latest book, and she does a good job of summing up the plight of national health care. She writes, "Our federal overseers, led by the arrogant and smug gender feminist Kathleen Sebelius, knows what's best for us. What if Americans don't want to spend weeks online figuring out their new insurance options? What if we don't want to provide the government with reams of personal information simply to be able to buy health insurance? What if we just want to pay our doctor directly for our yearly checkup? Why do we have to examine HHS regulations to find out how much that's going to cost us in fines and taxes? The smart people in the Soviet Union tried to plan the nation's agriculture, and the result was 50 years of bad weather. And they were dealing with inert objects, land, seed, and crops. Our central planners think that they can direct something infinitely more complex than farmland, human beings and their individual health needs." And that's from Ann Coulter, and she tends to be a little edgy, but I get the point. Now let's look at what the Bible says in regard to the Obamacare debacle. Certainly, we don't have passages in Scripture where the king makes everyone buy health insurance. But are there any situations in the Bible where a civil leader tries to push a program that will never work because it violates economic or moral reality? I think of Rehoboam in 1 Kings 12. He forsook the counsel of the elders and decided to push for higher taxes and greater servanthood from the people. He thought he could make Israel a better place to live by a stronger, more centralized, controlling government. But the people had enough. You can only fleece the sheep so much, and there was a civil war. Think of 1 Samuel chapter 14. King Saul orders his army not to eat anything until he has conquered the Philistines. And so the army grew weak from hunger. See, Saul had an ideology a way that he thought he could motivate the people, but it wasn't in sync with reality. There's also the pronouncements of the latter prophets in Israel that because the people and their leaders have forsaken the word of God, the biblical worldview, the biblical understanding of sin and the solution to sin, that the leaders would make foolish decisions that would drive the nation off the cliff. Isaiah 3:1, "For behold, the Lord God of hosts is going to remove from Jerusalem and Judah both supply and support. And I will make mere lads their princes, and capricious children will rule over them. And the people will be oppressed, each one by another, and each one by his neighbor." Isaiah 9:16, "For those who guide this people are leading them astray, and those who are guided by them are brought into confusion." Jeremiah 8:9, "The wise men are put to shame, they are dismayed and caught. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what kind of wisdom do they have?" And this is the curse of God that comes upon a people that forsake a biblical worldview. They're not able to fix national problems. In fact, they make it worse. Deuteronomy 28, "The Lord will smite you with madness and with blindness and with bewilderment of heart. And you shall grope at noon as a blind man gropes in the dark. You shall not prosper in your ways." Now, on the contrary, those who follow the word of God have a different outcome. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Or Psalm chapter 1, "The man who delights in the law of the Lord will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and whatever he does shall prosper. But the wicked are not so, but they're like the chaff which the wind drives away." So what's going to happen to Obamacare? Last April, I did an Obamacare update program in which I predicted Obamacare would be a failure, not because I'm a prophet or the son of a prophet, but because it contradicts economic reality. The fact that the website didn't work was just an added sign that the government is unable to take care of everyone's health care. I believe I mentioned in that program that our politicians had no idea what they were taking upon themselves. If you think the people are angry now at the healthcare system, wait until Obamacare is fully enforced. And all that anger that the public used to direct at the big insurance companies will now be directed at government. And rather than President Obama going down in history as a hero, Obamacare will be studied in political science classes as an example of what happens when the government passes a 2,000-page bill that nobody reads and that the majority of people don't want. Or as James Madison wrote in the Federalist Papers, "It will be of little avail to the people that the laws are made by men of their own choice if the laws be so voluminous that they cannot be read or so incoherent that they cannot be understood." Now, what's going to come next? Will Obamacare be overturned? I'm a pretty good predictor of economic outcomes, but I'm not very good at predicting political outcomes because then I'm going to have to predict human nature. Now, some conservatives suspect that Obamacare is just a ploy to bring in a single-payer system, and that's going to be the next push. Obamacare using private insurance companies is not working. We just need to go to the same system they have in Canada. But a single-payer system is unlikely in the short term because the Democrats no longer have the votes in Congress to pass a new health care bill. And after the terrible rollout of Obamacare, few politicians want to see the nightmare that would take place if the government tried to run a single-payer system. Hardcore Democrats believe Obamacare will eventually work. I don't think it will. Too many people will buck the higher rates and the fines, because they're not able to afford the higher rates and fines. But one thing is for sure, the Democrats and the political left cannot let Obamacare fail. Here's another great quote from the Weekly Standard in an article entitled "A Debacle for Liberalism." Quote, "The political ramifications could be enormous, precisely because the Affordable Care Act is the realization of a half-century-long liberal dream. If it fails, it will be a crushing blow not just to Barack Obama, but to American liberalism itself." Why? because Obamacare is in many ways the avatar, the archetype of modern liberalism. That's true in terms of its coercive elements, its soaring confidence in technocratic solutions, its ambition to centralize decision-making, and its belief that government knows best. You may like your health care plan, but the role of the benevolent nanny state is to impose its will on you. And we see the zealous aspirations of liberalism in using a discrete problem, in the case of the uninsured, to remake our entire healthcare system. Unquote. It's true, liberalism can't let Obamacare fail because it's just the beginning of their socialist agenda. After nationalized healthcare will come nationalized pay scales and nationalized employment. I don't think it matters very much to these liberal activists whether or not people are economically better off. Remember, after communism took over the Soviet Union, there was poverty, there was economic decline, but that didn't stop the communists. In fact, they dug their heels in even deeper. They had to make their ideology work. So I suspect that what we will see in Obamacare is some delays, some executive orders trying to make the Affordable Care Act work. It will be a bumbling mess. And I'm sorry to say this, but I believe the judgment of God will be the gradual pulling down of the American healthcare system. The baby boom generation that so much depends on their great healthcare in their retirement is going to be sorely disappointed. I suspect God will judge the system because healthcare has become America's idol to substitute for God. People, in abandoning God, are very insecure about the future and their aging, so they have put an inordinate attention toward healthcare. And when people turn away from God, they turn to the God of science for salvation, and God specializes in showing people that there is no deliverance in man. Cursed be the man who trusts in the arm of the flesh and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Jeremiah 17. The truth is that doctors and hospitals can't do all that much. And people have believed this lie, that if they have good insurance and spend lots of money, they will have good health and will live to age 100. But the sentence of death is upon all men. The wages of sin is death. And our nation, rather than fighting about health care, should be fighting to turn to God in both our behavior and in our laws. But in that we're not doing this, don't expect the healthcare situation in America to get any better. It will only get worse. But please use this decline to point to your friends and neighbors when they bring up this issue of healthcare, that all the government care in the world is not going to save them from death. So let's talk about the salvation of Jesus Christ, for he is the great physician. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. Contact us at our website, godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to this program again or other past programs. You can also join our Facebook group for additional commentary, facebook.com/group/godandcountryradio. You can go to our website, email us with questions, comments, or suggestions. That's godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, God and Country Radio. And may God richly bless you as you walk in obedience to his word. And if God so leads, we hope you make this program a regular part of your weekly discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father, as the prophet Isaiah cried out, "Why then has not the health of the daughters of my people been restored? Is there no physician?" Thank you, O Lord, for sending the true healer of both soul and body, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are forever grateful that you have provided for us the real health care. In the name of Jesus, we give thanks. Amen.